If you remember from last Sunday morning, we are looking at a better prayer life, and we looked at Ephesians chapter 3 and began with verse 14. The intent is to work through the end of the chapter, and Lord willing, we'll finish that this morning. But we asked ourselves how our prayer life is, and always one thing Christians seem to have in common is they always feel as if their prayer life is lacking in some way. And one of the things we talked about is how much of our prayers are circumstantial, and that's not a bad thing. We often go to the Lord in prayer, and we cast our cares upon Him. Part of the problem is when we cast our cares upon Him, we don't leave them there. A lot of times we take them back with us. But we are supposed to cast our cares to Him. We are supposed to take our circumstances to Him. But a lot of times we focus only on the circumstantial, and we don't focus on the internal. We focus on the external situation and circumstances, but we don't focus on what is inward and what is more lasting. We need to pray about the external things, but folks, we also need to pray about the internal things as well. And so I want to call your attention. We're going to read our text again, and then we'll kind of review what we went over last week, and then we'll cover the verses that we haven't got to speak of yet. So Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14 and through the end of the chapter, says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come to You in prayer, we have just read a far greater prayer than I could ever utter. And we just read something that is so lasting and so meaningful. And I pray, Lord, that we all would be able to pray like this throughout the week, throughout our lives, that we would focus upon the things that are internal, upon the things that which will lead for us to be better servants to You, things that we often take for granted. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly grow spiritually, Lord, and truly grow inwardly, and that our inner man would be more holy and more Christ-like. Pray, Lord, that You would help us to just have our faith strengthened, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and Lord, that we would know Your love, that we would have an understanding of Your love, and that it would mold us into the people You want us to be, and that we would share that love with others as well, so that they would see Your love in us. Pray, Lord, that the fullness of who You are would engulf us and surround us, that we would go forth and do that which pleases You. May we strive to live this way until You come again. May we strive to live this way until we leave this earth, whether it be by death or rapture. And Lord, at that point we are thankful that You will remove all the impurities in our lives, that we can truly worship You the way You deserve to be worshipped. I pray, Lord, for the many requests that we have. We pray for this young boy that is to see a neurologist, Lord. We pray that they're able to find out the situation and what's wrong. I pray, Lord, for Brother John's mother, Bev, Lord. I just pray that You would be with her, and that they would be able to take care of her, and that when John and Michelle get back, that everything will be okay. Lord, I pray for our church, that You would help us to grow in unity and love one to another. Lord, I pray for the unspoken requests that are out there, Lord. I know that there are hearts that are hurting, and Lord, I pray that you would touch them in a special way. You know the situations. You know the needs. Lord, I pray for your grace and your love and your mercy in those situations. Pray, Lord, that you would be with Tina and her upcoming surgeries. Pray, Lord, that you would be with Sister Kayla and Ivy, Lord, that you would bless them. Continue to keep them healthy, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with our time together, that we would truly meet with you and that we would worship. Pray that you would bring us back tonight and that we would have a time of fellowship together, Lord, where we could enjoy one another's company as well. Lord, above all things, we pray that in our lives and in this service and in all we do, that we bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. We looked, beginning with Ephesians chapter 3, we looked first of all of Paul's timing, his posture, and his purpose for praying. He put this right in between the doctrinal section of chapters 1, 2, and 3, and right in between the practical sections of chapters 4, 5, and 6. This is what God has done for you now because God has done these mighty things for you. This is how you are to live. And in the middle of that, he prays that we would be able to understand the doctrinal and live the practical. And folks, that's what we should be doing. We also looked at the purpose of his praying. He prayed because God had given him the gospel, and he prayed because he has boldness and confidence to enter in, and he prayed for these people that he loved. And then we looked at his posture. He bowed before God. We need to show reverence and respect. There are times that we will be praying when we're standing. There are times that it is not wrong whatsoever when we're driving down the road to say a prayer, or when we're standing in front of someone or to say a prayer, or when we're nervous and we're about to go up in front of a classroom or give a presentation at work. There's nothing wrong with praying at that time. We don't have to say, time out, I need to go home and get in my closet and pray. We can pray anytime. But folks, there should be times that we break away, that we get alone, and that we bow our knees and our heads before God. And posturally, we reverence and respect him in prayer. We then looked at the contents of his prayer, and that's where we're at right now. But we saw, first of all, that he prayed that God would strengthen, through the Spirit of God, our inner man. He prayed for these people in Ephesus that God would strengthen their inner man. And folks, we need our inner man to be strengthened. A strong inner Christian will produce works outwardly. You can clean up your life externally, but your heart can still be far away from God. The Pharisees had that problem. They were on the outside. They were like a cup that was clean and shiny and beautiful, but on the inside, it was likened unto dirty and filthy and had cobwebs in it. And folks, that can be how we are sometimes. Externally, we can appear to be holy and righteous, but if it is not internal, then all of that is vain and for show. We need to pray that God strengthens us inwardly, that we are led by the Spirit of God, that we walk by the Spirit of God, that God's Word dwells in our hearts. And when these things happen, we grow inwardly spiritually, and that helps us to also grow outwardly spiritually as well. And then we looked that Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. We pray that Christ dwells in our hearts. We sing a song, Christ liveth in me. And folks, we want our hearts to be an abode for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want our faith to grow. This week when I was praying over this, and I hope you were praying over this as well, but one of the things that often come up in my prayer, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, was the verses where it said, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And there are things in the faith that we are strong about, and there are things that we are weak about. And there were times that obviously we all need to pray that prayer that we would be more confident, more bold, and more courageous in our faith, that our faith would be strengthened and Christ would dwell in our hearts. And so we need to be praying for our inner man and for our hearts, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Which brings us to the next request that is given. And this is the next section. This is the new part that we have not covered yet. But at the end of verse 17, it mentions a beautiful word here. And this is what our next topic is. It says, being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Charity. Love. The Christian should be rooted and grounded in love. The love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love for one another, the love even for our enemies. A Christian should be rooted and grounded in love. And then, speaking of love, he says, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints. That means not just us, but all the people that call upon the name of Jesus. May we all be able to comprehend. And then he says, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? The breadth, length, depth, and height of what? Verse 20, the love of Christ. If you read this backwards, it seems odd and out of place, but verse 19 says that we are to know the love of Christ. What about the love of Christ? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of it. Now, we throw the word love around quite a bit in our society today. And there is this sentiment in our culture that love is good. And folks, love is good. The right kind of love is good. There is good love, and then there are ways that we can express love that are bad. But people don't recognize that today. You could say you have a love for methamphetamines. Is that a good love to have? No. But I desire it and I love it. Yeah, most people that are hooked on those type of chemical dependencies, most people that have those drug problems, they love it. And they desire it. More so than anything else in this entire world. That if you look at the cases of people that struggle with that, they are willing to give up everything in order to focus on the love that they have for that. Is that a good love? No, there are things that we are to grow in love that are good, but folks, there are some love is not good. I heard Vody Bachman, a man of God, who is one of the great preachers of our time. He just passed away a couple weeks ago. And if you've never heard of him, I encourage you very much to listen to him. But he talks about this, how not all love is good. In fact, in our world, in our society, we see different types of love. But the scriptures primarily talk about two types of love. Two words for love, really. Talks about a love called filio love. Filio love means a brotherly love, an affectionate love one to another, brotherly. In fact, filio, brotherly love, is where you have the name and the root name for the city Philadelphia. And what do they call the city of Philadelphia? The city of brotherly love. Filio, brotherly love. And then you have another type of love. It's called agape love. It's the Greek word agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It's a love that I want to be honest and clear with you this morning about. Agape love would not exist in this world if it was not for God. Agape love is not human love that is brought forth. It is not a natural love. It is a supernatural love that has to come from the divine. That is what agape love is. And the scriptures talk about agape love. In fact, if you look at, if you study in the Gospel of John, do you remember that conversation that Jesus has with Peter at the end of the book where he says, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "You know that I love you." And he says, "Feed my sheep." And he says, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he says, "You know I love you, Peter." And he says, "Feed my sheep." What you don't see is if you read that in Greek or if you see that translation, Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you have that highest form of love for me?" And Peter, who had just claimed that he never knew him, who had just denied the Lord three times, who felt so unworthy and so weak, when Jesus says, "Peter, do you have this agape, highest form of love for me?" He replies, "Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I have this brotherly affection and love for you." He felt unworthy to say it. We are better off as Christians if we know and understand and comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of Christ Jesus' agape love toward us. And so I want to take a few moments to talk about these different measurements, I guess you could say, that are found here. The different measurements that are given in verse 18. And we begin with the breadth of Christ's love. We don't talk that way today. I think there are other parts in the world that talks about breadth, but that simply means the width, the expanse of God's love. God's love, Christ's love toward us is wide. It's a wide net that is cast. And it's encompassing. And when it talks about the breadth of Christ's love, what that means is Christ's love is enough to encompass and to include every type of person that there is. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it says this: "There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, that verse does not mean that there is no physical distinction between a Jewish person and a Gentile person. Obviously that there is. That there is no physical distinction between one that is in bondage and slavery and one that is free. Obviously there is. And I shouldn't even have to say it, but our world is so confused and messed up. I shouldn't have to say, but obviously this verse is not teaching that male and female are the same. There is definitely a difference between that which is male and that which is female. But what this verse is teaching is that whether you are a slave for your entire life or you are the richest man on earth, Christ's love can encompass everywhere in between as well. Whether you are a man or whether you are a woman, it does not matter. The love of Christ encompasses both genders. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, whether you are American, whether you are French, whether you are Spanish, whether you come from the Middle East, even if you're a friend of the North in Canada, Christ's love can encompass all people. The same Savior of the world, the same Savior that saved those in Jerusalem, it's the same Savior that can save those in the deepest, darkest Africa. His love is all-encompassing. And it reaches out to every type of person that there is. Next, we see that his love is, it says, the length of his love. So we see what is the breadth or the width or the encompassing of his love. But then it says the length of his love. What does that mean? Christ's love is a lasting love. It's long. It's enough to last all the way into eternity future. Did you know that? But what some people don't realize and comprehend and understand is it is not only enough to last until all eternity future, but it also began all the way in eternity past. Christ's love is everlasting. It's an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with thy loving kindness, I have drawn thee." John 13:1 says, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." The length of Christ's love expands from eternity past to the future. And we see that in Ephesians 1 where it says, "According to hath chosen him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Christ's love reaches from eternity past to eternity future. We've looked at the width of Christ's love. We looked at the length of Christ's love. And then it says, "In the depth of his love." So obviously at Bible school, we sing about two of these three that we've talked about, don't we? We sing deep and wide. Deep and wide. What is the depth of the love of Christ? It's the place in which Christ's love is able to descend to. It descends to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we see that primarily when we see the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God, perfect in holiness, justice, purity, righteousness in heaven. And he leaves the very splendors of heaven to come down to this cursed, wicked, sinful world. That's the depth of Christ's love. That he comes into this world, and those that ridicule him and mock him and hate him, he is kind, affectionate, loving, and merciful to them. Those that, whether they have a disease or sickness or whatever their sorrow may be, he came and he healed and he mended their hearts. He reached down to the depths of humanity. God became man. And his love reaches down deep enough to even reach the vilest heart of a sinner. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Whom being in the form of God made himself of no reputation, he took upon the form of his servant." And then it goes on to say, "He became obedient to death, even death of the cross." Psalms 40 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay." Christ reaches the very depth of sinners. You look in the Gospel of John, which we've been studying, and this woman that is brought to him in adultery, that is caught in the very act of adultery, he is merciful and gracious and loving and kind to. That's the love of Christ, and that should be the love we have toward others as well. You look at the thief on the cross. If you remember the words of the thief on the cross, "We justly receive what we get, but this man has done nothing." And Christ says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He says, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." He says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The love of Christ Jesus reached to the very depth and vile sinner who was dying on the cross for his indiscretions, for his crimes. And Christ's love saved him. Those that shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him," with vile, wicked hands and wicked hearts, there were many of those that were saved in Acts chapter 2. Many of those same people that cried, "Crucify him," the love of Christ Jesus reached down and saved them. And Paul, who was persecuting the church, Paul, who was killing Christians, he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, whom I am chief. He says, the depth of Christ's love came down and saved the chiefest of sinners. But you know that the very next verse of that, we don't often quote, and it's important for us. You know what the very next verse says? Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Do you know what he's saying right there? He says, Jesus Christ saved me who was vile, the chiefest of all sinners. His love reached in the depths of his love, saved me, the vilest and chiefest of sinners. And the reason he did it is that's a pattern for everyone else, that the long-suffering of Christ, his love can save you as well. And folks, I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, you feel like you're too evil, too wicked, too sinful to be saved, I want you to know that the depths of the Christ Jesus' love can reach down to the vilest of sinners. Where sin abounds in your heart, the grace of Christ Jesus abounds even more. And his love can save you. He still reaches. His love is there. And I call on you to repent of your sin and trust upon him, because he can save you from your sin. That's the breadth, the length, the depth of his love. But then it goes on to say the height of his love as well. His love can bring us to the very heights of heaven itself. From sin to salvation. From earth to heaven. From death to eternal life. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us up together with Christ. Now listen to this next part. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is the height of the love of Christ. So we see the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love. The breadth is all-encompassing. The length lasts forever. The depth is for the vilest of sinners. And the height is to the splendor of heaven. And so my question to you is this: what shall we say then about the love of Christ? If you will, keep your place here in Ephesians, and we are going to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now he lays out the plan of God's salvation. He lays out the plan that we don't really see, that we don't understand when we're saved, but it's there all along. You see, when we are saved, we typically just realize that we are a sinner, and that Christ Jesus died on the cross for our sin to save us. But then when you start studying the book of Romans, you see there's so much to our salvation. And in Romans chapter 8, he lays out the plan of God's salvation. And after coming through with this plan from eternity past to eternity future, he then says in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 38, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even on the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? And then we come to this question in verse 35 that is very fitting for our text and our prayer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Let me ask you, folks, before we look at this long list, you've known the breadth of Christ's love. You've heard about the length of His love. You've heard about the depth of His love. You've heard all about the height of His love. So the question is, who shall separate us from His love? Verse 35, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know what he's saying here? Will our circumstances separate us from the love of Christ? No! Not at all. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the love of Jesus Christ, folks. And then we go back to our text, back to our prayer. And the prayer is that we know this love, that we understand this love, that we understand the width, the length, the depth, and the height of His love. And then it says to know the love of Christ, but then he throws this comment out there, which passeth knowledge. Do you know what that means? We are praying that we would know the love of Christ, which is unknowable. That's what he says. We are praying that you understand the love of Jesus Christ that no one can understand. Will we understand His love fully? We'll never grasp His love fully. But may we strive to understand it better and better. And through the Spirit of God's help, may we understand His love as much as we possibly can. And then the last and final request, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This text mentions God the Father. This text mentions Christ Jesus. And this text also mentions the Spirit of God. And may the triune God in all of His fullness fill us. May all that we do be about God. May all that we think be about God. May all that runs through our minds be spiritual and heavenly about God. May we be people who are filled with all the fullness of God. I don't think anyone that's ever walked on this earth has had this prayer request fully given to them, fully answered. But the goal is to each and every day get a little bit closer. Each and every day be a little more holy. Each and every day be a little more like Christ. Each and every day have the love of Christ dwell in our hearts a little bit more. Each and every day may our faith be strengthened a little bit more. Each and every day may God the Father, Son, and Spirit fill our hearts a little bit more. May we do that. Is this impossible? Verse 30, now unto Him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I think a lot of times we go into these situations and in our prayers and we're negative when we go in and we're negative when we come out. We like to use this verse for everything other than what it's intended for, don't we? I want that Lamborghini, but I'll never get it. Oh, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can even ask or think. Okay. I'd like $1 million in my bank account, but that ain't ever going to happen in this life. Oh, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you ever ask or think. We use it in that context all the time, don't we? I want, I can't get. Oh, God could give it to me. But what is the context that it is actually given in? What is the context of this passage? It's a prayer. And the prayer is, God, strengthen my inner man. God, may Christ Jesus dwell in my heart and my faith be strengthened. God, may I know and understand the love of Christ and the width, the depth, and the length, and the height of it. And God, may all your fullness fill me. And it's to those things, God says, it may seem impossible, but I am able to do abundantly, exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. We always like to use it for our own personal gain, and God is saying, yeah, it's a gain, but it's a spiritual gain, and it's much more valuable than anything else that could just drop in your lap. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Folks, may we continue to pray. May we continue to pray that God would strengthen our inner man. Continue to pray that our faith would grow. Continue to pray that we know the love of Christ. Continue to pray for the fullness of God. And when we pray it, let's expect God to be able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly what we think. And in all of those things, when we are praying and expecting Him to do it, the purpose of all of it is for this reason and this reason only, that God in heaven will receive all glory and honor, even to worlds without end in heaven forever.